stimulation for your brain.
It's the Lisa Wexler Show.
And guess who's here? I'm here live. It's a Thursday at quarter to five. 203-661-5051. It's Lisa Wexler. Sorry to have gotten into the studio a little bit late today, but it is a Thursday. I'm here live right behind the mic. Love you to call in. And then following me, because it is a Thursday, Sam Romeo of Greenwich Matters. So you've got a lot of local conversation, local radio, bringing it to you door to door and still free here at 1490 WGCH. 203-661-5051. Listen, I apologize. I've asked for a little leeway. I know you're going to grant it to me, but I miss you. I am going to be back and forth among and between the mic in the next, I don't know, week or so, because my sister's husband is not doing very well at Memorial Sloan Kettering, where I've been spending most evenings, and then coming back home at night. Pretty late last night. I got home a little bit past midnight. And so it's sort of like a vigil, actually, you know, with prayers and songs and sage and holding hands and tears. My sister Jill knit the most gorgeous blanket you've ever seen. She finished it this week. It is the first thing she's ever knit. She started learning how to knit to keep her hands busy and to create something. And she made this gorgeous fluffy chenille, gray and white, the most beautiful blanket you ever saw, thick and puffy and warm and delicious. And Bobby is covered with the blanket. And the blanket is the blanket of love. It's the blanket of love. 203-661-5051. You know, when you're in a hospital, it's like being in an airport. You have no conception of time. You lose time. Yesterday, I got there around 1 o'clock. I looked at my watch. It was 9:45. And, you know, and I had forgotten to eat, but then I did eat because somebody said, hey, when's the last time you ate? And you're like, oh, I don't remember. Hospital time is weird. It's a heightened, strange, you know, you don't have windows usually, not really. The light is that fluorescent, horrible lighting. It's like in an airport, you know, where the time passes, but it has a different quality. It's a different quality of time. It doesn't seem the same way. Anyway, I'm going to catch you up on what's been happening in the news, and you have to promise to catch me up as well in case I missed anything. So this will be the show this Thursday, January 11th, 1/1/18. And you can catch me up on what I may have missed myself. But let me tell you, if you're just joining us right now, the Dow Jones went up 205 points today from a record to a record to a record. Led by Boeing for the Dow Jones Industrials, it rose to an all-time high today to 25,574.73. I think if anybody had predicted that kind of number, it would have looked like, you know, something from science fiction. The NASDAQ composite also hit a record high, rising to 72,11.78. Shares of Apple's gained 0.6%, and even the S&P 500 gained 0.7%. You know that there was a very famous, I don't know if it was a business school case or an experiment that someone did, where they threw arrows on a dartboard of the stocks that were listed in the Wall Street Journal. And they invested those stocks versus the likelihood of investing in an index fund. I think they had them then, I'm not even sure. Versus investing, you know, just in blue chip stocks. And basically, the point was that even the most educated premier financial advisor pretty much went up when the market was up and down when the market was down. It was very difficult to beat the odds. Sure, the occasional person knows about a Regeneron or an Apple or an eBay. But, you know, that's few and far between. Most people, you know, are just schlemiels. And they hire people, and sometimes they spend 1%, sometimes they spend 1.25% for people to be their predictors, their prognosticators. And some people do a better job than others. But by and large, they say, the big they, that, you know, basically if the market is doing well, you should do well in the market, and then you invest in a mutual fund that more or less parallels the market. And if the market isn't doing well, good luck in beating the odds. Chances are you can't. but a very, very big day, one of many in a row for investors who were, by the way, predicted to be taking out a lot of their gains, at least towards the end of the year. And then the market was supposed to have a correction and then go back up. But, you know, it never did. It just keeps going up. You think it's a bubble? You think it'll burst? Who knows? If I knew, I would have bought eBay 8 minutes before 5 o'clock, or Bitcoin, or one of them. All right, let me see what else is happening today. I'm looking at the Greenwich Time. Mark Boughton has officially decided to make his run for governor official. He was on the show, you know, being coy about being in the exploratory phase of his campaign, but now he is making it official. He is the mayor of Danbury. He's 53 years old. He's a Republican, serving a record 9th term as mayor. And Boughton says the reason he dropped out of the 2014 gubernatorial campaign was because he didn't have enough money. But now he has cleared the financing hurdle, raising the minimum $250,000 in small donations needed to qualify for millions in state public campaign financing. He promises, if you elect him, to reduce 15% of all executive order regulations that impact business and stop doing things like raiding the Special Transportation Fund. Governor Malloy in the news today as well, for wanting a ban on bump stocks. Remember that? Remember we learned what they were after that terrible Vegas tragedy, which is still an unsolved crime as far as I'm concerned? I mean, it's really we never really understood the motive. I mean, too much about that, right, remains very suspect, that a guy just goes haywire like that. It's weird, right? It's very weird. And we haven't gotten to the bottom of it. But that's when we first learned what these bump stocks were, which, when attached to a semi-automatic rifle, enable a gun to go way too fast, converting them into machine guns. So Governor Malloy wants to ban them. He says bump stocks are cheap, deadly, and they have no place in our society. He proposed a bill to ban these devices. You know, if you really think about it, if you remember the history of Connecticut, in the Seymour Valley region, the Naugatuck Valley, we were one of the premier gun makers in the world. Smith & Wesson was here. Remington Arms was here. There were other very famous gun manufacturers that made all their guns right in the Brass Valley. So it would have been completely politically incorrect a relatively short time ago to even think about more gun regulation in Connecticut. But you know what? Even though we still have a lot of gun weapon manufacturers here, and we do, more than you would recognize, more than you would maybe think, the consensus of the majority, not all, but the majority of taxpayers in Connecticut, particularly since Newtown, anytime there's a poll done, is that they want reasonable, of course, being the operative word and different depending upon who you ask, but reasonable gun regulation. And one of the things we learned, if we're not gun people, is that these bump stocks convert semi-automatic into automatic weapons. And we already ban automatic weapons. So why would we allow a device that you can buy so cheaply to circumvent the law that we've all agreed already is a fair and reasonable restriction on gun rights, which is that people should not have automatic weapons? So why wouldn't we ban bump stocks? The bill would ban possession and sale of bump stocks, making it a felony, once again with the felony. A felony, just, by the way, when you're convicted of a felony, it can really, really affect your life negatively. Not only can't you vote, but it's something asked on virtually every employment or reference or credit questionnaire. It's really a tough thing to have against you. I think we have to be very careful when we write new laws to not make everything in the world a felony just because we feel like it. Anyway, the ban would ban possession and sale of bump stocks, making it a felony to sell or possess them, or to possess binary trigger systems, trigger cranks, I don't know what that is, and other rate of fire enhancement devices. Those with the devices after the law takes effect would be subject to a misdemeanor. In other words, you're not grandfathered. In other words, if you have them now and you're caught, it's a misdemeanor. If you get them after the law becomes in effect, then it's a felony. The proposed bill immediately drew opposition from pro-gun groups committed to stopping additional gun control, Scott Wilson, president of the Connecticut Citizens Defense League, says that Connecticut already has a very punitive ban on the same types of firearms that were used in the Las Vegas murder. He says, you know what? We already have really strong laws, and we don't need any more laws. A couple of minutes before 5 o'clock, 203-661-5051 is our number. I'm Lisa Wexler on a Thursday, 203-661-5051. Oh, my goodness. We didn't even talk about the Stable Genius remark. We didn't even talk about Donald Trump saying that he was a stable genius. So much going on in the world. All right, you know what I'm going to do? There are terrible floods in Montecito, home of Oprah. The White House says there's not a deal yet on immigration. Don't hold your breath. What a shock. We're going to get to some local issues in the next hour. We're going to get to the House, which voted to renew the NSA spying. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to you that there's going to continue to be an invasion of your privacy? What are the stories that are important to you? We have a new baby in the family, Mazel Tov. We have a Theo, I just found out before I got on the air, Mazel Tov Theo. It doesn't surprise me the baby's name is Theo. I bet the baby is named after the brother of Vincent Van Gogh because she's an artist and he is too. He's an artistic photographer. She's a fine artist. Wasn't his name Theo Van Gogh? Right? Theo Van Gogh? The death toll has risen to 17 in Montecito. Is that not correct? Thank you. Now it's correct. All right, so we're going to be at 5 o'clock soon. We'll be here for another live hour of the Lisa Wexler Show. 203-661-5051. I'll try and catch you up on news you may have missed. You can catch me up on your news that I may have missed. Stick around.
You're listening to the station you grew up with, 1490 WGCH, Greenwich.
Is Park That Ranger. I'm Michael Toscano. President Trump continuing attacks on the FBI, telling the Wall Street Journal it was treason when two agents working on the Russia investigation sent emails critical of him. Sarah Murray is at the White House.
There isn't a direct quote in the Wall Street Journal story. It's just a summary of basically the reporters saying that President Trump compared it essentially to treason, the notion that these FBI employees would be exchanging anti-Trump messages.
We do have a direct quote in an interview Trump did on immigration with the Washington Post, but I can't say it on the air. The president asking, why are we having all these people from blank countries come here? The blank, an extremely vulgar use of words. The clock is ticking toward a government shutdown next weekend, as correspondent Omar Jimenez reminds us that the fate of the dreamers brought here illegally as kids is in the mix.
Democrats want to include it in the spending bill, which would mean negotiations done before the January 19th government shutdown deadline. But Republicans appear certain they won't be able to reach an agreement that quickly, and with a recent court ruling, they know DACA isn't expiring right away. President Trump has said a border wall needs to be part of any DACA approval, and Congress knows there's still a lot more work to be done.
If you're driving a 2006 Ford Ranger pickup truck right now, pull over and park it. Jan Johnson reports some of them have Takata airbags linked to another exploding airbag fatality in a Ranger.
Word of a second death attributed to exploding Takata airbag inflators in that model prompted an immediate recall of 2,900 Rangers and a promise that the pickups will be fixed at an owner's home or towed into the dealer. It's the 21st death worldwide associated with the largest string of auto recalls in U.S. history.
On Wall Street, all three major indexes soared to record highs. Today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average spiked 206 points at the close. The S&P 500 added 19 points. The NASDAQ finished 58 points higher. I'm Michael Toscano.
When you have your own restaurant, you have to get your hands dirty. Literally. Like, right now, I'm unclogging my grease trap. I also print my own menus every day, so I rely on Staples for great deals on ink. I mean, I can't afford to run out, like my last three busboys.
Right now at Staples, buy one HP ink and get the second 30% off, so you can afford to stock up, because you can't afford to run out.
Oh!
good. My sous chef just quit.
Visit Staples today and keep your ink stocked and your business moving. Ends 1/13/18. See store or staples.com for details. Restrictions may apply.
My name is Dr. Jonathan Greenberg. Stop what you are doing because what I'm about to say will improve the quality of your life. ZYPPAH.com. That's ZPA. It's Happy Z spelled backwards. ZPA is designed to be comfortable, affordable, and effective at eliminating snoring. I want to help you stop snoring. Go to ZPA.com and order now. ZYPPAH.com. Snoring is a serious matter. ZPA will conquer your snoring problems. Go to ZPA.com and order now.
The number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits rose last week. The Labor Department reports first-time claims increased 11,000 to a seasonally adjusted 261,000. That's the highest level since late September, with unemployment claims rising for the last 4 weeks. Losing a job, very, very stressful, of course, but business reporter Tom Busby reminds us having a job can be stressful, too.
CareerCast coming out with its list of the most and least stressful jobs for this year. Now, in past years, the most stressful group included airline pilots, firefighters, and active military personnel. In the least stressful category, hairstylists and hearing specialists.
Working at Walmart, a bit less stressful now, as the company says the new tax cuts have prompted them to boost starting salaries to $11 an hour, and they're giving a one-time $1,000 cash bonus to some employees. Walmart also expanding maternity and parental leave benefits, with a new benefit planned to help with adoption expenses. More than a million U.S. hourly workers affected. I'm Michael Toscano.
The world has it out for your floors, from overwatered plants to overflowing dog bowls. But the Home Depot has new water-resistant Pergo Outlast Plus laminate flooring starting at just $279 a square foot. Its 24-hour spill protection stands up to liquids for a whole day, so the world will have to wait. But you won't. The next generation of laminate flooring is here now. Pergo Outlast Plus from just $279 a square foot. Exclusively at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
I live alone and rare.
Good evening. Traffic getting busy now on the Turnpike. The northbound travel time for the Connecticut Turnpike from the state line up to Route 7 is now 25 minutes. Travel time northbound on the Burrard Parkway from the state line to Route 7, we're looking at a 22-minute ride. One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. I'm Jay Trelase, 1490 WGCH.
Be inspired. This is Lisa Wexler. Every Saturday morning at 10, join us for the Accorda Scientific Excellence Award, a special program featuring the kids in our neighborhoods doing independent research in science, technology, engineering, and math. Hear from the students themselves about their discoveries, how music improves memory loss. One student invented a better bicycle. Apply free on Accorda.com, ACORDA.com. Tune in every Saturday morning at 10 here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
It's the Lisa Wexler Show. Phone lines are open. Call 203-661-5051.
And it's 6 minutes after 5 o'clock on a Thursday. Sam Romeo up here next. Your local radio station at 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com. Anywhere. Next week, I'm going to be peripatetic. You know what that means? It's such a great word. It's such a great word to pronounce. I'll be here and there. And next week, I'm going to invite a bunch of guest hosts who will be familiar voices to you if you're a regular listener to WGCH. And we'll do a magical rotation. And that will be because I anticipate having to miss a few shows. So just bear with me. You know I love you. 203-661-5051. All right. I want to talk about a couple of things going on today in Washington and beyond Washington that appear to be a natural extension of a world that was written about and foreshadowed in George Orwell's very famous 1984. In George Orwell's 1984, which I urge you to read or reread or watch the movie, the world is dominated by Big Brother, which is a term that we have come to use so often and so colloquially that it seems to have lost all meaning. But I think that we have to take it back and recognize it and not give up the fight towards the world of technology and artificial intelligence taking over for what it means to value the dignity and privacy of a human being. After 9/11, we gave away a lot of our civil rights in hopes of avoiding another major terrorist attack. And one of the things that we did was we allowed Congress to authorize our spy agencies to spy on us to an extent never before seen before. And following in the footsteps of Goering, the famous Goering, Hermann Goering, we renamed things with euphemistic names that very frequently meant the opposite of what they were. Was it Goering or Goebbels? Who was the famous propagandist? It might have been Goebbels. Well, somebody with a G, a Nazi with a G. It was Goebbels? And so, for example, overwhelmingly, something called the Patriot Act was passed after 9/11. I didn't see much patriotic about it. I didn't think it was patriotic to have to force librarians to tell people what books you took out of the library, which is the same thing as giving companies like Google the right to keep your browsing history, or making companies like Google have to give up your browsing history to the government if they ask for it. Because after all, today's browsing history was yesterday's taking out library books, right? It's the same difference. It's the same thing. And I didn't think it was so great when our U.S. Supreme Court said that we did not have the same expectation in a cell phone call that we had in our own telephone call from our own landline. I think the Supreme Court missed the boat on that one. It really, the analogy was lost on them. Every single time you're on the phone, you expect privacy. Look at all the nincompoops who text each other, who really think that those texts are private. There's something in the human brain that assumes a level of privacy of an intact conversation when we're emailing, texting, or actually on the phone. But our Supreme Court did not protect us and did not protect that conversation to the same extent that old-fashioned telephone calls were protected during the 1960s by William O. Douglas and some of the great titans of the U.S. Supreme Court. And so into that came these FISA courts, these foreign surveillance courts, under the Foreign Surveillance Act. And these were something very different than what American jurisprudence is supposed to look like. These were private judges in private one-way courts, not in the benefit of the public eye, not with the benefit of much defense counsel, if any at all. Private decisions rendered, and virtually no consequences. And organizations like the NSA, the National Security Administration, could come and get warrants from yes-men judges without worrying about any consequences whatsoever. Today, there was a vote in the House of Representatives to approve legislation to renew government surveillance powers. And what is considered a victory for the Trump administration, they did approve them. However, they voted down new limits on how authorities can use the information that is collected. And that is a problem as well. Just hours before the vote, President Trump roiled the waters, according to The Hill, by sending out a tweet that appeared to contradict his own administration's opposition to the changes. The amendment failed by a vote of 233 to 183. The White House said it supported the underlying surveillance bill but strongly opposed the amendment. And the amendment by Justin Amash would have limited the extent to which the surveillance could be used. It'll now head to the Senate, where it's expected to, quote, swiftly take up and pass the measure before the surveillance program expires on January 19th. We have audio. Let's hear it.
Big law. It's a big statute with lots of pieces.
Paul Ryan.
Title 1 of the FISA law is what you see in the news that applies to U.S. citizens. That's not what we're talking about here. This is Title 7, Section 702. This is about foreign terrorists on foreign soil. That's what this is about. So let's clear up some of the confusion here. Let me give you two examples. Two examples of what this program has done to keep our people safe. Two declassified examples. Number one, this program in March of 2016 gave us the intelligence we needed to go after and kill ISIS's finance minister because of the intelligence collected under this program, a foreign terrorist on a foreign soil, the number two man at ISIS who was in line to become the next leader. This program helped us get the information to stop him.
I have to tell you something. This is Paul Ryan. I got to tell you something. There's so much irony abounding here. One of the reasons the Trump administration was on the fence about this is because apparently Michael Flynn's conversations were captured and caught. And that's one of the reasons why Michael Flynn has been under such scrutiny and ultimately had to resign from the Trump administration. You know, they can say that it's all about foreign, but the truth is that foreigners communicate with Americans all the time. So it's Americans that get caught swept up in these warrantless surveillance. So let's talk about what we really mean here, because I always want to be clear with people who say, well, you know, you shouldn't be afraid of something if you've got nothing to hide. First of all, that's crap. That's BS. That's not what America's about. That's not what our Constitution is about. That's not what freedom is about. But more than that, we're only talking about needing a warrant. No one is suggesting that if somebody has any probable cause to believe somebody is guilty of a crime, that that person can't be tapped, wiretapped. That's always been the law. It's always been the law. And by the way, judges are usually incredibly forgiving with wide latitude. I have rarely heard of any case in which an application for a warrant for probable cause was turned down. Most judges are very happy to sign them. But what it means in practice, in actuality, is that law enforcement has to do its job. Is that law enforcement has to smell up a case. They've got to say, oh, you know what, Your Honor? I think because of X and Y to connect the dots, I want to listen more to this guy. Not a net, a fishing expedition of all conversations with coded words. That's never supposed to be what America's been about. Now, that's just one aspect of what I wanted to talk today. The other aspect, and I think it's part and parcel of the same thing, college campuses lately have been one of the most terrible breeding grounds for intolerance of opposing views. Very often those opposing views are conservative views. Sometimes they're pro-Trump, sometimes they're pro-Marco Rubio, sometimes they're pro-Bush or pro-Mitt Romney. But they're very lately bastions of liberal intolerance. God forbid you should speak up in favor of Israel against pro-Palestinian forces, and you're a racist, a bigot. There are certain taboos. One, if you're opposed to anything having to do with gay rights, you're a bigot, and you're simply wrong, and you can't be allowed to speak. There is a liberal orthodoxy that has really taken hold, and we know this because people like Alan Dershowitz have been asked not to speak at college campuses because some of the great sociological authors of our time, like Charles Murray, who wrote a brilliant piece on how people are more separate today because they engage less in civic engagement than they used to in the 1950s, has hurt our own view of what it means to be an American in a melting pot. We are two separatists. Charles Murray was banned from Middlebury College in Vermont, and somebody was hurt. So we have this liberal orthodoxy going on in college campuses right now that's very scary. And we have a millennium generation, a largely millennium generation, that when polled, the majority of them really believe that it's okay to censor people who you don't agree with. That it's okay to punish people who you don't agree with. That it's okay to prevent newspapers or television shows from broadcasting or printing opinions that you don't agree with. Now, I submit to you that those people have a complete lack of understanding of the First Amendment. And it scares me that they're going to take over one day and be in the majority. It really does scare me. It means we have utterly failed at civics in this country, and that we have not explained the most elemental part of free speech is defending the right of people to say loudly and offensively those things that you disagree with. Loudly and offensively. The right to offend is the right to speak. In part and parcel of this today, Twitter engineers are actually going to be banning a way of talking through what they call shadow banning conversations. They have created, this is their own admission, guys, Twitter has created an algorithm to censor opposing political opinions. What they're planning to do, it's shocking, is they're planning to rate every single conversation on Twitter, every single post, every single engagement, every single conversation. And if it has too many words in it that Twitter finds offensive, you know what they're going to do? They're going to make one person think that they're listened to by their followers and not let them know that their tweets have actually been banned and are no way in the nether space that is social media. So you'll think that you're tweeting your opinion. Twitter will think your opinion ain't worth tweeting. And nobody that follows you will see your opinion. Is it Big Brother if it's Twitter and not the United States of America? I submit to you it is, yes. Because in the days when George Orwell was writing, he never envisioned that a few media companies like Google, Facebook, and Twitter could control the conversation to the extent they do today. And just because our First Amendment applies to the state doesn't mean that it isn't as valuable and as important in social media as well. Twitter and Facebook are the new Big Brother. They are censoring our speech. They are deciding what speech should be posted, what speech shouldn't be posted. We're going to get into more of the details coming up at 203-661-5051. But this is the next frontier in human rights. The stakes couldn't be higher. This is about whether or not in this generation coming through social media, there will still be a thing, such a thing as free speech. Stay tuned.
Good evening. Traffic getting busy now on the Turnpike. The northbound travel time for the Connecticut Turnpike from the state line up to Route 7 is now 25 minutes. Travel time northbound on the Burrard Parkway from the state line to Route 7, we're looking at a 22-minute ride. One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. I'm Jay Trelase, 1490 WGCH.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Flood watch in effect from 6 a.m. tomorrow until noon Saturday. Rain showers and fog developing tonight, becoming steady towards daybreak, the low near 45. Tomorrow, periods of rain with areas of fog, the high near 55. Rain heavy at times, fog near 40 tomorrow night. Looking for a new home to rent? Get free help finding your next home. Call Candlewood Realty at 203-470-3275. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
Did you know that most Eastern Connecticut State University graduates stay in Connecticut to work and raise their families? Did you know that Eastern has students from 163 of Connecticut's 169 towns? Did you know that Eastern has been named a green campus by the Princeton Review 8 consecutive years? Eastern recently made U.S. News and World Report's list of the top 25 public regional universities in the North for the first time. Eastern is affordable, yet academically challenging for its students. The best of both worlds. Students study the liberal arts and then go off campus to apply their skills from Hartford to Italy, Costa Rica to Washington, D.C. Eastern focuses on undergraduate education on a beautiful residential campus. Connecticut's only public liberal arts university with 39 majors and 65 minors. Visit Eastern on the web today.
Buongiorno tutte quante. This is Miriam DeLuca Melillo Di Felice. And by the way, Di Felice means to be happy. So I hope everyone is always Di Felice. And I know I'm really Di Felice. I am so happy to announce my show is back Saturday from 11 to 12. We'll be talking Italian food, trivia, traditions, and so, so, so much more. Lots of Italian music, just wonderful guests. That's Marianne's Italian Hour, Saturday from 11 to 12. Please tune in. And I say grazie and ciao bella.
Your radio is on.
Now it's time to turn your brain on.
It's the Lisa Wexler Show.
Conversations about today's hottest topics, issues, and events.
Now, here's Lisa Wexler.
And it's 22 minutes after 5 o'clock, 203-661-5051, 203-661-5051. So let's talk a little bit about the ways in which Twitter and then Facebook want to censor our speech. 203-661-5051 to answer your questions, to talk about what's on your mind. So I know Michael Savage tweeted this early this morning, and he's another talk radio host, and he wanted to show that, yes, it was true that Twitter employees were sabotaging Donald Trump by sending his direct messages. But you know that Donald Trump uses Twitter and sends what they call DM, direct messages, that some Twitter employee had decided to send the content of the direct messages to the Department of Justice, and that that was admitted via a Project Veritas video investigation, which is essentially people that come in and they lie and they say that they're not who they say they are, and they pose with cameras, and then they get the goods on people, usually liberals, usually people in Planned Parenthood or liberals. Sometimes they go, you know, they get in front of all kind of criminal charges because a lot of times what they're doing is considered illegal. But they think that they're doing things in order to show honesty and integrity and what's behind the scenes that people don't admit. That's why they call themselves Project Veritas. Sometimes they turn out to be outright liars. But in any event, In this particular instance, with respect to Twitter, they got a Twitter employee to admit that he was taking his authority as somebody who saw direct messages, and he was sending those direct messages to the Department of Justice. The other thing, however, this is really important, is that here's what happened. Project Veritas did an undercover Twitter expose. They released it yesterday. It showed Twitter senior network security engineer Clay Haynes saying that Twitter is, quote, more than happy to help the Department of Justice with their little President Donald Trump investigation. Twitter responded to the video with a statement shortly after the release saying that the individual depicted in the video was speaking in a personal capacity, does not speak or represent Twitter. The video released by Project Veritas today features 8 employees, and apparently more are coming. And here's what else is happening with this. On January 3, 2018, in a San Francisco restaurant, a former Twitter software engineer named Abhinav Vajdevru explained a strategy that he called shadow banning that he thinks Twitter has already used, to his knowledge. He said one strategy is to shadow ban so you have ultimate control. The idea of a shadow ban is that you ban someone, but they don't know they've been banned because they keep posting and no one sees their content. So they just think that no one is engaging with their content when in reality, no one is seeing it. So they want to know, why haven't they been retweeted? Why haven't they been noticed? Why haven't they been quoted? Why haven't they been commented on? Why haven't they been copied and posted? Why? Because no one has seen it. Twitter is in the process of automating censorship and banning, said Twitter software engineer Stephen Pierre on December 8th of 2017. Quote, every single conversation is going to be rated by a machine, and the machine is going to say whether or not it's a positive thing or a negative thing. And whether it's positive or negative, it's more like if somebody's being aggressive or not, right? Somebody's just cursing at somebody, whatever. They may have a point, but it will just vanish. It's not going to ban the mindset. It's going to ban, like, a way of talking. Olinda Hassan explained at a Twitter holiday party that the development of a system of downranking, I don't know how to say this word on the air, let's say crappy people, is in the works. She said, yeah, we're trying to get the crappy people to not show up. It's a product thing we're working on. Now, the thing that you have to understand is, think about this. Where did this all come from? And, you know, I try and be fair. That's my thing. I admit to my own biases, but I try and be fair. And I will say that in trying to be fair, that I don't think that Twitter would be trying to censor conversation if Donald Trump hadn't gotten elected president. If Hillary Clinton had gotten elected president, I don't think Twitter and Facebook would be freaking out the way they are. They're freaking out because the guy that they expected to lose won. Facebook is freaking out because the guy they expected to lose and won is somebody that won with the aid of false information planted by Russians. Twitter is just plain freaking out. I don't know why Twitter is freaking out the way it is, but it is. As far as I'm concerned, it's not the political content of speech that is as troublesome as it is the bullying and ganging up on individuals that is really obnoxious. You know, I didn't read social media recently, but my husband Bill told me that my sister, it's very personal to me. So my sister Jill has about 1 million social media followers, I think, on Twitter and a lot on Facebook or whatever, a lot of people. And that's because at one time she was on television and she was on a very controversial, provocative kind of show. And the show was called The Real Housewives of New York City. Now, Jill hasn't been on that show for 4 or 5 years now. It's been a long time. But the fame lingers because the show still airs and they still play marathons. And she really resonated with a group of people. But her character on the show, her person on the show, seemed to be very polarizing. People either loved or hated Jill. Far more loved her than hated her, but some hated her. And those haters are still there, apparently. And the way that they vent their hatred is on social media. So I'll give you an example. My sister has been virtually night and day, almost every minute of every day, with Bobby, her beloved husband. And I mean beloved husband. When we thought he was dying in July because his thyroid cancer had become something called anaplastic thyroid cancer, which is a cancer that explodes, that all of a sudden the cells in the body don't know what they're supposed to do and the cancer is everywhere. Jill heard that there was a trial combination of chemotherapy that might work. And somehow she reached the people at Novartis to get it. And he got it, and he got a few more months of relatively good health before he declined again, before it stopped working. And she called the CEO of Novartis and she called the inventor of this chemo at Penn. And there isn't anything that my sister hasn't done or pulled. She had Bobby at MD Anderson. She had a consortium of doctors that included people at the Mayo Clinic, MD Anderson, Sloan Kettering, you name it, they were there. And they formed this team to try and help work on Bobby's relatively rare case. My parents were married for 60 years on December 25th. Bobby's health has been declining for quite a while. He hasn't gotten out of bed in many weeks now. And there's no question that, you know, he's in the end stage of his disease. But my parents were only going to be married 60 years once. And Jill had been living in the hospital between the hospital and home and hospital beds for quite some time. There was no way Bobby could have made the 60th anniversary party. But there was also no way that Bobby didn't want Jill to go if he was stable, which he was then, December 25th. And so Jill went down to Florida for all of 2 or 3 days to be with us and celebrate and go back to Bobby's bedside, where she's been since December 26th. I didn't see this, but Bill saw on social media that she was reamed by some people. How dare she go see her parents and leave Bobby? People are sick. They're judgmental. They're awful. They're disgusting. They have nothing better to do. They're sick. They don't know anything. It's not their business. Somebody posted a picture of my sister happy for a change in the bosom of her family with people who love her and are praying for Bobby, who's on our minds every second of every day. So if you ask me what's wrong with Twitter and Facebook and why to some extent it's a waste of time, it's because it gives voice to these cretins, these trolls, who have nothing better to do than to criticize people who they don't know, but think they know because they see on a television screen, and who have no compassion and no judgment and no insight. Now that's a long way away from what we're talking about today, which is Twitter internally censoring and banning people because it doesn't like the speech. Twitter has a problem. They created a platform for free speech, and they made it free. And it was so successful that people actually use it. And now they're scared. They're scared because when people speak and say things, not everyone is going to agree with the things they say. But you know what? You don't have to use Twitter. You don't have to have an account. You don't have to have followers. You can tune it out and turn it off. Like a light switch, as they said in the Book of Mormon. Like a light switch. The answer is not to censor Twitter. That's not the answer. That's going to make Twitter a much less valuable commodity in the world of free speech. And what it says to me is that too many millennials are running the show, and their liberal orthodoxy is now filtering down into the ways in which you and I think we're entitled to communicate. But this will be the beginning of the end for them, because when they do start the shadow banning and the censoring, nobody will use Twitter anymore because it will not be a legitimate expression of free speech. And if there's one thing I know to be true, what does Oprah say? I know for sure. This is what I know for sure. I know that the value of free speech, the dignity and value associated with being a free human being, will never go away. It will never get old. And there will always be another forum that will provide that opportunity. Bob Ney joins us from Talk Media News right after weather and traffic. I'm Lisa Wexler. You're listening to 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Good evening. If you're traveling the northbound Connecticut Turnpike, our travel time from the state line up to Route 7 in Norwalk is 27 minutes. Travel time on the northbound Murrett Parkway from the state line to Route 7, we're looking at a 24-minute ride. Winston Churchill's words stirred his country in the face of defeat. Today they inspire us to reach for our own victories. Commitment, pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com. I'm Jay Trelease, 1490 WGCH Traffic.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Considerable cloudiness with showers developing late tonight, becoming a steady rain towards daybreak. A flood watch begins at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Periods of rain mild with areas of fog, the high near 55. That rain will continue heavily at times tomorrow night with fog, the low near 40. Saturday, occasional rain tapering to showers, breezy and becoming much colder, highs in the low 40s and falling through the 30s in the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brian Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
Are you looking to cut costs without sacrificing quality? If so, Onboard Services is waiting for you. Onboard Services takes the administrative hassle of running a business off your hands. From payroll to benefit plans, hiring, and outplacement, Onboard does it all. Onboard has trained specialists to provide your organization with employees based on the skill sets you desire. A family-run business for over 40 years, including clientele among Fortune 400 companies, Onboard is experienced in over 100 disciplines. For temporary and long-term help, or if you just want to save money without dismissing your current employees, do what the experts do. Call Onboard Services right now. Call 609-945-8009. That's 609-945-8009. Or on the web at www.obcc.net. For a special offer, mention WGCH. Take the hassle out of running your business so you can concentrate on the bottom line. Call Onboard Services today.
Around the House with Steve Gladstone on Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 is jam-packed with important information, preventative maintenance, and all sorts of home tips to keep your house in great shape and your family safe. We have special guests on heating, cooling, environmental issues, and we make it fun with trivia contests and prizes. Don't let that home fall apart around you. Join us Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 on Around the House with Steve Gladstone on 1490 WGCH.
If you're thinking about it, Lisa's talking about it.
Join the conversation. It's the Lisa Wexler Show.
And Bob Nay from Talk Media News joins us now. Hey, Bob, where are you today?
I am in the great state of Ohio today.
You like Ohio.
I do. That's Ellen Ratner's home state and my home state.
I know. Are you Cleveland, Cincinnati? Where are you?
I am 30 miles east of Columbus, Ohio, in a small town called Newark, but I'm from eastern Ohio. All of my family is there in Belmont County across from Wheeling, West Virginia. That was my congressional district, which went from Wheeling all the way to 30 miles from Columbus.
Hold on. What song has Wheeling, West Virginia in the lyric?
Wheeling, Almost Heaven.
That's right. Almost Heaven, right? Da, 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 da.
Wheeling's in there. We say it is. Da, 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 da. I was born in Wheeling.
You were born in Wheeling, West Virginia. Is that coal country?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Belmont County, my home county, is the heart of coal. My Belmont County was 3% Republican index, and I won it. And Jefferson County, the adjacent county, was 4% Republican index.
What does that mean, a Republican index? What does that mean?
3% of the county is Republican.
97% isn't, and you won as a Republican?
I won, yeah, yes. It was interesting. In fact, I would win those counties, and then it was hard for a Democrat to pick me up. The whole district was 16% Republican.
My husband is the CEO of another failed coal plant. He seems to have found himself in that industry lately in the last few years.
Oh, my.
These coal plants that come out of bankruptcy, and then he tries to figure out what to do with them.
I know a lot of coal people. I know a lot about the coal industry, and I was involved deeply with the coal jobs and the United Mine Workers also of America.
The unions, the situation there is so fraught with so many years of non-trusting. You know, my husband is newest management, but the union voted down an offer that was made to them that would have kept more jobs for longer. Mm-hmm. And they just voted it down.
I worked with a lot of coal companies. Hanna Coal doesn't exist anymore. Ohio Valley Coal Company is the latest I worked with when I went out of office. But I worked with the United Mine Workers, like I said, extensively. In fact, I was their guest this summer in a private meeting. They wanted to thank me where the union people said some things about Hillary I can't even say on air because I don't want you drug off the air.
Don't do that to me.
And I said, oh, no, something's surely changed here. But with the union... just to defend them for a second, you really have to work with them, too, and because for years and years and years, you know, they've been told a lot of things, and then it just...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Got crossed over.
I'm not faulting them as an institution. I'm just saying the years of trust that has eroded has meant that nowadays they don't even believe somebody who comes in who tells them the truth, and then they vote against their own interest.
Yeah,
but the other thing about the unions is, which I saw, which was very disappointing to me, Bob, is that they really protect the older people at the expense of the younger people.
Yes, they've gotten caught. They had a pension issue, which we actually put some money into it, and then this year Senator Portman, a Republican from Ohio, tried to refund the pension system. The way they funded the pensions was kind of an obsolete way, and then they've got the older pensioners, and they have always focused on, this is their theory, if you don't take care of the older ones, you don't have the younger ones coming into the system to have faith in you. But here's the problem.
No.
There's so many few new ones coming in.
That's right.
The numbers don't work anymore.
No, and not only that, from the plant management point of view, they get more work and better and more versatile work out of the younger people.
Sure.
So just by insisting to hold on to the older people, they sort of hasten their own demise. It's not good.
Yes. It's tough, and I feel bad for your husband because... You know, he's having to fight years and years and years of a certain thinking.
Correct. And I don't even know what's going to be. But anyway, so Bob Nay, so what else is new today? Talk to me. What's happening?
Well, a couple of things. The FISA court, surveillance court, in fact, it was reauthorized in the House, but it had a moment of drama because the president tweeted out, making it sound like, this court, it did this to me, and the dossier went in there, and on and on. And as a result, rightfully so, Nancy Pelosi went to the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, and said, I'm asking you to pull that bill. I want to know where the President of the United States stands on this. Is he against it? We thought he was for it. And so Paul Ryan temporarily pulled the bill. The White House clarified that, you know, they are for it, for the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And then
I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
Well, now I
would say, let me put it this way. It's not that I can't stand it. I think it needs to have a lot. I think it needs to have warrants.
Right. I voted for it for one reason. I voted against the Patriot Act. One of three people, me, Ron Paul, and Butch Otter. It was a very lonely place, Lisa, on that board.
But you made the right vote.
Yes, I did. And I thought, and I said at the time, and I said it afterwards, the FISA court is a horrible situation. It's not right. I voted for it versus having nothing, but it became a rubber stamp. It needs to be. It needs to be reformed. There are really great amendments that can do it. They didn't do any of it. And Ron Paul was going to try to champion that cause, by the way, in the Senate to get some amendments to the thing. I thought it was horrible when I voted for it. I voted for it because that's all the option we had after the horrible Patriot Act passed.
You know, it's so weird because we have this so-called Conservative Freedom Caucus, and I pretty much disagree with them on everything. But I would have hoped that we could have at least agreed on stuff like this.
Well, sure, because when I was there, you know, I was on the same page as Bernie Sanders when it came to the Patriot Act, you know. Those bills, those pieces of legislation, as you know, they go, when you get the far right agreeing with the far left, then there's some kind of
problem.
Bad bill out
That's
there
right.
when those two sides agree. And they all, far left and far right, should agree on FISA reform and should have agreed on the Patriot Act.
Yeah. So in the meantime, we have more of the same.
Right.
Did you see today what Twitter is doing, that they admit to the shadow censoring and all this shadow banning and what Facebook is going to be doing too, these algorithms to control speech? They're going to lose their audience, Bob.
Well, you know, my former press secretary works for Facebook now, and I kind of, you know, she was great with me, and we're friends, and I saw her at the national convention. She runs all the international programs for Zuckerberg, so I don't get into a lot of, you know, verbal things, but I basically have had it with Facebook and Twitter, et cetera. You know, like my 94-year-old dad said last weekend, you can't say anything anymore, and they censor in the eye of the beholder, you know?
That's correct. That's what censorship is.
Yeah, in the eye of the beholder. And I have friends getting bumped off of these things, literally, and they show me what they said, and I'm like, why would you get bumped off for that?
Yeah, so basically, in our effort to become like China, only China admits it's doing it as a government, and we're just self-censoring it, nincompoops.
Yeah,
there will be other forms for free speech, and
it's
they will
sad.
Come out. But it's sad because it's the millennial, it's the younger people coming up who really believe that if you say something that offends them, you don't have the right to say it.
Oh, I know. My dad and I had this very conversation. My dad's very easygoing, but he's 94, and he said, you know, and I also was telling somebody yesterday, and they looked at me like I was crazy. I told him when I went to college, I can remember my professor, of course, smoked during class in those days. But my professor would say things that were just amazingly shocking. He was a sociology professor. I saw him not long ago. I thanked him for being who he was. He didn't fear to raise a controversial point. He didn't have to agree with you, but he would, you know, let points be raised, and today he'd probably shut, you know, students would be shut down today.
That's right.
For saying something, or the professor.
Well, you know, if you dare to trammel on the liberal orthodoxy, God help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really.
You know, I told Ellen, because I love Ellen, I told her, I said, and she laughed, I said, Ellen, liberals are for diversity until you don't agree with it.
Correct. That's right. That's right. I mean, you know, I happen to be in favor of gay rights, but I honestly really understand the point of view of people who it's maybe not. How can I put this? I understand the point of view of people who think that two homosexual people marrying each other is not natural. OK, you could shoot me now. Go ahead and shoot me. But I understand that point of view.
Well,
I do.
Yeah, sure. And you know, if that's the way they want to feel, fine. It's like religion.
Right. Right.
You know?
It's very much like,
oh,
and it's very
goodness.
Much from religion, frankly.
Yeah, I have friends of mine I don't even talk to anymore who turn to me and say, you're Hindu friends, because, you know, I traveled to India. Or, you're Hindu. I have a leper lady I give money to in India. She doesn't have hands or feet, but she is such a delight and so charming. And my friend actually said to me, if she hasn't found the Bible and read it, she's going to hell. I said, that's your version.
Oh.
You know, why you have to institute that on people? It's sort of like, you know, She can't be who she wants to be, and she's a leper.
There. It's all over the world,
right?
That kind of intolerance. It's all over the world.
It's horrible.
It's why people really hate, you know, established religion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for joining us. What are you doing
Thank
with
you.
Yourself? Everything good? You happy?
Yeah.
Everything good?
Yeah, Ellen and I talk, and we're going to write a little book together.
Really?
And, we're all excited. She came up with the idea, of course.
Is it on recovery?
She forced me nicely into writing a recovery book, which I have written, and we're going to publish it.
Okay.
When I say force me, she said, come on, do it. So it's called It's Beyond Stopping. She's going to add to the book, and we're going to do it. Now, this other one's going to be about when members of Congress leave, you know, how do they find spirituality? Do they get spiritual? Looking at their spirituality, not religion, but spirituality.
All right, let's see if they tell you the truth.
When you're out, look, I did HBO Bill Maher one time, and I made a statement. He goes, why should we believe you? He laughed. He said, you went to prison. I said, you lie trying to stay out. You tell the truth when you come out of prison.
All right. That's funny.
All right.
Thanks, Bob. Take care.
Thank you.
Bob Nay of Talk Media News. It's 12 minutes before 6 o'clock. I'm Lisa Wexler. On a Thursday, Sam Romeo coming up with Greenwich Matters. 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere at 203-661-5051.
Good evening. If you're traveling the northbound Connecticut Turnpike, travel time for the state line up to Route 7 is 34 minutes. Merritt Parkway looks good. Travel time northbound for the state line to Route 7, only a 22-minute ride. Join the T.J. Martell Foundation in the fight against leukemia, cancer, and AIDS. Your support helps facilitate cutting-edge research that will lead to more effective treatments and save more lives. Visit tjmartell.org to learn more. I'm Jay Trelease, 1490 WGCH Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Flood watch in effect from 6 a.m. tomorrow until noon Saturday. Rain showers and fog developing tonight, becoming steady towards daybreak, the low near 45. Tomorrow, periods of rain with areas of fog, the high near 55. Rain heavy at times, fog near 40 tomorrow night. Looking for a new home to rent? Get free help finding your next home. Call Candlewood Realty at 203-470-3275. I'm meteorologist Brian Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
This is Margaret Walsh of Greenwich Library. The Greenwich Library, Flynn Gallery, and Woman Owned Greenwich join forces to present a unique art and business creative crossover event about cultivating your professional image. The program begins in the Flynn Gallery amidst the inspiring abstract art of the all-female Venus Fly exhibit, with networking and a creative conversation with exhibit curator Tracy McKenna. The program then shifts to the meeting room for an interactive image and branding workshop with Suzanne Stilwell and Terry Picara of Jade Marketing Solutions. Stop putting yourself in a box, break out creatively, and learn how to develop and present your professional image and brand. This program will take place on Wednesday, January 17th at 6 p.m. in the main library. Space is limited, so registration is required. Please visit the library's online calendar of events to register. I'm Margaret Walsh of Greenwich Library on 1490 WGCH.
Join us for Marvels of China, Pathways to the Pacific Rim, every Saturday morning at 10:30 on 1490 WGCH. Marvels of China is a colorful, lively international perspective featuring news of business, educational, and cultural events and reveals historical and cultural ties between America and China. That's Marvels of China, every Saturday morning at 10:30 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
If you're thinking about it, Lisa's talking about it.
Join the conversation.
Call 203-661-5051. It's the Lisa Wexler Show.
And 9 minutes before the hour, what's it all about, Alfie? We are schmoozing. I'm so happy to be with you today. I'm going to be on and off a little bit, but you're going to get to hear from some other voices here at WGCH in the next week. Jim Campbell is going to come on and help me out. Rob Adams. Rob, a shout out to your mom. I know she's not doing that great right now. Who else? Kim is coming on. Kim has a partner. Who's Kim and Meredith, okay, great. They're going to do a show. So what's going to happen is if you're used to tuning into the station right now and hearing me from 4 to 6, you'll get to hear some other voices that are on WGCH during the week. And hopefully you'll like what they are doing and what they have to say. And you'll set your dial to 1490 for even a greater part of the day so that you can hear some of the other great talent we have on the station. I'm excited for that for you. And I know you're going to forgive me. I hope you will. Because, you know, one of the stories I told in Secrets of a Jewish Mother, the book that I wrote with my mother and my sister a few years ago, which I urge you to buy on Amazon, Secrets of a Jewish Mother. And if you want me to sign it for you, to autograph it, let me know and I'd be happy to do so. I can meet you here at the station and do so. It's easy to find it. It's available. We sold out of the hardcover. And it hasn't been reprinted, but the paperback, which is easier to carry around anyway, is available on Amazon. Anyway, many years ago, my best friend Sandy's husband was very sick with something called biliary duct cancer. Who even knew what it was? But I remember that he had an initial diagnosis of 3 to 6 months. He went to the Mayo Clinic, and that's what she thought he had. But I felt that it was going to be much sooner than that. Don't ask me why. But I had a very strong feeling it was going to be sooner. And I needed to see my best friend, Sandy. She lives in Arizona. I miss her. I needed to see her. So I was in the middle of a trial, a civil trial in Bridgeport. And I went to the judge. And I said, Your Honor, I know this is crazy. I know I'm in the middle of a trial. I have got to go see my best friend. Her husband is dying and I've got to get on a plane. And he said, how long are you going to need? And I said, well, I'm going to go on a Saturday morning to Arizona. I'll be back by Wednesday. I need a few days. Will you please give me the recess? And he said, yes. And I went on the plane on Saturday morning, a 4 a.m. flight. And by the time I landed, he had passed away. He literally died when I was in the air. I just had such a strong feeling. But I was there through the funeral, and I was there to hold Sandy's hand, and I was there for what I could be there, and then I left. And in the book, we talk a lot about showing up for people. And sometimes you have to leave your life for a while and step into somebody else's life for a while when they need you. You know, it's not going to be forever because everything in life is temporary. But what does it mean to be a friend anyway? What does it mean to have a family, to assume that family is there for you? What does it mean if you don't show up? What does it mean if you don't rearrange your schedule and your calendar for a few days in your life to try and be there for somebody else? Otherwise, why call yourself a friend, or why call yourself an uncle or a niece or a sister or a daughter? Why do it? What is the impact? What is the import of that relationship? It's saturated with an expectation that when that person needs you, you'll go out of your way for that person. And it's never forever. People get on their feet pretty quickly. They do. Most of us are survivors. We're resilient. We figure it out. And if you can't be physically present for someone 24 hours a day or 12 hours a day, so it's 2 hours a day, or it's a 45-minute phone call just to be an ear to listen when somebody needs to vent. My mother always taught us, it's in the book, Secrets of a Jewish Mother, you've got to show up for people. It's one of the big things. I hate to quote Woody Allen because, frankly, he's such a stinker and he's a child molester. And I know I'm supposed to say alleged child molester, but since I read Mia Farrow's book and I read the opinion of the judge about Dylan, and I believe the judge, I'll just say it. But Woody Allen is famous for saying something that was very true. What is success? What did he say? 70-80% of success in life is showing up. It's showing up. So anyway, I'm on my way to New York City after this. I'm on my way to New York City. And I have to say something very selfish, too, about me. I'm really sad that Bobby is going. I can't even begin to tell you how surreal the whole thing feels. Surreal. And I'm very sad about the end of the great love affair thus far in my sister's life. The great love affair. A great love affair for the ages. But I love my sister. I love spending time with her, even if it's sad time. I'm grateful for the time. I'm grateful for the hanging around time. For the time that has no boundaries, for the time that has no to-do list. Just for the passing of time. And I think it's a great gift. You know, in the Bible it says that Jacob was the first person to know his own death before it came. And that God says that Jacob was given a great gift. Because before Jacob, everyone that passed either suddenly, traumatically, violently, or we don't know how. But in the Bible, Jacob was told he was sick. And he knew that he would be passing. And so he was able to plan and figure things out for what happened when he was gone. And that was a gift that God gave Jacob, but also a gift that God gave Jacob's family. Because while you'll never completely adjust to the passing of anyone, it always still comes as a shock. I don't care what. You think that you can prepare, but you don't really prepare. You can't. That's the human nature. It's part of our gift of loving life when we have it. But there is a little bit of you that gets ready, as opposed to the shock of a sudden death. We talk a lot about sudden deaths in the news. We read a lot about them, gunshots and things like that, and we pay a lot of attention to them because the shock value, the traumatic value of a sudden death hits us differently than the ability to sort of know when someone is passing from us. And you know what? We've been singing to Bobby. Last night we sang some Hebrew songs, some Yiddish, if we knew a little bit. And we've been holding hands, and we've been with him. And so the time is its own treasure. It's its own treasure to be with those you love and not count the seconds and not count the minutes and not rush to do something else. To just be. And I'm grateful for that. I am. It's 6 o'clock. I'll be back with you ASAP. Tune in every day at 4 p.m. and stay tuned now to our own Sam Romeo, Greenwich Matters.
The Voice of Greenwich. This is 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
On Yang Relationship, I'm Barbara Cusack. An Oval Office meeting between President Trump and lawmakers on immigration reportedly turned ugly today, according to a report in the Washington Post.
Meeting with some lawmakers in the Oval Office when they suggested he restore temporary legal status to immigrants from Central American and African nations that the president has been ending, the Post reports the president said, quote, "Why are we having all these people from blank whole countries come here?" End quote. He asked why there couldn't be more refugees from places like Norway, whose prime minister